Welcome to Baseball America's College Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk college baseball.
Pretty big Monday at Baseball America. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Dave Slate, for the introduction. John, Jimmer, Mike, and Teddy here in the break room in between the selection show and the conference call where the selection committee will address media questions. So let's take 15 minutes, guys, to touch on kind of the high notes. Teddy, real quick high notes of the committee's performance, 62 out of 64 from Jim Schoenard, what he thought would happen. It wasn't necessarily what Jim thought should happen. It pretty good predictions, but it seemed like they went, for the most part, chalk with RPI, with the notable exceptions of North Carolina and Michigan, which got skipped over for some lower RPI teams, such as, say, an Oregon State, I guess, that's the other kind of RPI team left out, whereas teams like Washington got in.
Yeah, when they released the host last night and they went with the hosts, it was the top 16 RPI teams with the exception of Coastal being replaced by Virginia, which was number 17. You knew that RPI was going to be an RPI-heavy year. That's just the way the committee was going to break it down. And at the time, I thought North Carolina would be pretty safe with that, being a top 20 RPI team. But I guess that was not enough for them. It's not enough for Michigan with their top 40 RPI. But I think the UNC, I go back and forth on this. I mean, they are a bubble team. They were the first out for the committee. So I guess you do go back and forth with where their resume stands. And
a monster RPI.
Yeah.
That's basically what they had.
And I feel like, I guess if there is going to be this much emphasis on RPI this year, and it's clear that there was, then you have to have the top 20 RPI team in. I guess I don't see how you can do that if you're going to go straight RPI for most of the national seeds and for the hosts.
Jimmer, what'd you think of the Tar Heels being left out, but also just on the overall field in general? You went 8-for-8 on the national seed, so you pegged that with LSU edging out Ole Miss for one of those national seeds. Clemson earning its way in. What were your thoughts on those first three out? I kind of thought that Michigan would wind up getting in, but I guess that would have made the Big Ten a 4-bid league.
I had it as 2 and Nebraska was 3, ended up as 3. The 2 teams I missed were Carolina and Oregon State in
over and Long Beach State out
over Long Beach and Nebraska. Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about North Carolina a lot. I mean, they're top one, top 50 record, top 100 record, we're all pretty good. This is the conference record, 13-17, so they don't make the conference tournament.
Should making the conference tournament,
I think that was necessarily it. It was just like
somewhat artificial in
a
way.
I mean, they could have used the opportunity to get some more wins. But, I mean, 13-17, Georgia Tech goes 1-3 there in Durham and still gets in. So they were 13-16. They end up 14-19, number 20 in the RPI on Warren Nolan here. And I mean, it's tough to. I mean, this is 2 years in a row. North Carolina has had the best RPI of a team left out, if I remember correctly. And
I think you're right about that.
Yeah,
it's 2 straight years they don't make it, Mike. I mean, I know we're spending a lot of time talking about them. It's also
right.
They're always linked with Oregon State, and here Oregon State doesn't get in either. I think we really thought the Pac-12 would be a 5-bid league. I understand Michigan not making it. Their RPI was high because of a lot of road games. I'm a little bit surprised that Oregon State didn't make it. They swept UCLA at the end of the year. They didn't just sweep. They shut out UCLA 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
Which surprised you more, Oregon State not getting in or North Carolina not getting in?
That's a tough question. I think
I'm here to ask the tough questions.
Yeah, no, I know you are. I know you are. You know, when I looked at UNC's schedule, personally, we talk about what we think should happen and what we expect to happen. I didn't think they should get in given what they did in ACC play, given, and we've touched on this before, we talked a little bit about this when we did our Facebook Live yesterday, but
yeah.
you just
interminable
look,
Facebook Live, which we could not get to work today, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we'll try again later.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the problem is less with not making the ACC tournament and more with just what they did in ACC play, where their best series win was against Duke, which is a good series win because Duke, as we know now, is a team in a regional, the number 3 seed in the Columbia regional. But other than that, it really was an uneventful. And I mean, they had a series of wins against Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, and someone else that I'm forgetting. But I don't know. It's just obviously their RPI was high due to their non-conference schedule, and they started off the season really well. But I just felt like you watch the team, and you know, we see the team a lot just because we're based in Durham.
Right.
You see the team, and it just doesn't have the look of a postseason team necessarily. And then you look at Oregon State, and as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, obviously finishing off the season very strong. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, you talk about the links between Oregon State and UNC. You know, here you have Oregon State finishing off the season with a really loud series win against UCLA.
Right.
UNC started the season with at that time, a loud series win against UCLA. So that's kind of an interesting parallel there.
It is. Those teams are always linked.
Yeah.
The teams that got in, the bubble in guys, Long Beach State and Boston College, were two of the last teams announced in as well. I guess that had to be nervous. That had to be nerve-wracking. Who were the other kind of last teams in? And I guess, Teddy, just thoughts on the overall seeding. I guess one thing that surprised us a bit, I was surprised that Arizona State was still a 2, even after getting just bludgeoned. Maybe I'm fixating on one game, but they got beat 31-9 by Southern Cal. But otherwise, it felt like the seeding and the placement of teams, there weren't a ton of surprises in that regard. It really just was that coming down to those last kind of 2 teams that would get in.
Well, the one thing about Arizona State being a 2 is, if they're a 2, why are they not hosting? Is kind of my question. Why are you not sending someone out there? But that's a completely different thing.
We can talk hosting though if you want to.
I don't really want to. I mean, I do think they landed on the 16 best hosts. I guess I'll say that I don't care that they're all in the Southeast. That's probably what's right. But if Arizona State's a 2, you might as well give the West a host, right? But anyway. So the
St. Mary's is a 3. That surprised
me. St. Mary's
you.
Is a 3 surprised me. Minnesota is a 2 surprised me.
That was a big shock.
Yeah, I don't really know what Minnesota's doing as a 2. Their RPI is not great, and they only won the Big Ten by a half game, and their non-conference was not good at all. I mean, basically, they're getting a 2 for winning the Big Ten regular season, which is fine.
Their best non-conference win was what? Oregon State, right? In one game?
I think so, yeah.
So a team that didn't wind up getting in.
Yeah, that one surprised me. And St. Mary's at a 3. I mean, I guess
you had enough low RPI teams.
Right, is that the automatics just kind of, when teams like Western Michigan beat Kent State on the final day and knock out some of the better...
Because Kent State probably would have been a 3. They had a low RPI. But
yeah, probably.
They had
probably
44 wins, right. And a decent RPI. I mean,
but if you win a conference regular season, conference tournament, and you have an RPI in the top 70 for a northern school... That's often a number 3 resume.
Yeah,
and then you have a under 500 record. You win the Pac-12, apparently as a 4 seed resume. Yeah. I thought maybe the Utah would get a 3 seed,
I mean, but the
RPI was just too low, right, Jim?
For Utah, yeah. I mean, they were still...
And under 500.
Yeah. I don't know if we're spending too much time on 4 seeds here, but just when I was doing it, it came down to St. Mary's or SEMO, Southeast Missouri State, to be the last 3 or the highest 4, and
neither SEMO, one of those feels like a 3.
Yeah, so. SEMO was 4-7 against the top 100. St. Mary's actually does have 13 top 100 wins, albeit they're under 500. But so that, I mean, that was enough. You know,
well,
give them a 3.
The other one that surprised me was UCSB getting a 2 seed.
Right,
and it is interesting that UCSB. Yeah, that's a straight RPI. It's interesting that they get a 2 and Minnesota gets a 2, and then the third place team or the team behind them, a third team from both of those conferences, also gets in Long Beach and Nebraska, and they had been kind of bubbly.
That's a good point.
So
Long Beach and Nebraska were two of the most bubbly teams.
Right.
So the fact that those two, that Santa Barbara and Minnesota got 2 seeds, kind of indicated that they kind of propped up those leagues a little bit.
I don't know if that means the committee is valuing the Big West and the Big Ten more or what exactly, but the fact that those are 2 and then they get an additional team from that conference is, I mean, I don't think that's an accident at all.
A couple other things to note before we go to the conference call. First of all, easiest or toughest regionals, I'll throw out, first of all, Texas A&M's regional A three seed is the 2, Minnesota. Wake Forest, which was very bubbly, is the 3. I mean, Wake Forest had a good week here this week at the ACC tournament, but it's a fairly thin resume for Wake Forest. I mean, I understand why they're in. I'm not knocking that they're in. I'm glad they got in. But it's not a lock that they got in. And Binghamton's a 4, so there's no geographical team that fits Texas A&M. There's no other Texas teams. There's no classic rivals. There's nobody who won a conference tournament other than Binghamton. You know, Minnesota won a solid league but barely won it, you know, kind of backed into it. I mean, that's the weakest regional field, guys, for me. A&M should sweep to a regional championship there. A tough regional for me is Starkville. I wouldn't want to see Cal State Fullerton as my 2 seed if I'm an SEC team. And Louisiana Tech, I thought, was a borderline 2 seed. Conference USA was good this year, gets 4 bids. That's the 4th bid from Conference USA, but that's a solid club.
Yeah, that was a hot team down the stretch.
That finished very well. So I thought Louisiana Tech could have been a 2 seed, not a 3.
Yeah, they had the RPI for it.
And Southeast Missouri has an ace in Luke Casey, who last I checked was leading the country in strikeouts, and has generally been offensive, although it's tough to really read Ohio Valley Conference offensive stats. So Mississippi State's a good team. They're the number 6 national seed. They're legit. They have one of the best resumes in the country. But they got a really tough regional, guys. So two SEC teams that were linked throughout the season in our rankings. What was it, Texas A&M that just went and just housed Mississippi State, or was it the other way around? Texas A&M that went to Mississippi State and
yes,
swept them, right?
Yes, A&M
so
went there, yeah.
It feels like almost like that series that has weighed down Mississippi State all year almost weighed them down here, because the difference between those two clubs' resumes shouldn't be so vast. But for me, the difference in their regionals is pretty stark, Jimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say the one for me, a couple for me that I like. The Starkville one is a tough one. I'll stay in the Magnolia State. They're the Ole Miss one with
Magnolias.
Tulane, BC, and Utah. Utah is your Pac-12 champ as the 4.
Right.
That's, I mean, we know BC can pitch. We know they love going on the road. Just what they can, you know, they're
hashtag
going on to, you know, like we saw them win a series here. That's a, you know, that's gonna be a fun. The way they can pitch, Justin Dunn and those guys. That's gonna be a fun one. The one. I mean, the Clemson one's kind of interesting. You know, we talked about Nebraska, Oklahoma State's been a little up and down. Western Carolina, I just saw that's going to be a fun little matchup.
Obviously, a lot of traditional ties there.
Yep,
you know, you got Jack Leggett was the coach at Western Carolina, and then he was the coach at Clemson forever. Now he's this link that's now no longer there. And you know, here's another reminder with Western Carolina sent there.
He'll be in the stands.
He'll be in the stands for Western Carolina.
He's been there for Clemson all year.
I know. Yeah. I mean, he's very tight with those two.
I didn't know he visited Western Carolina practice recently. They were all about that this
with
weekend. The SoCon tournament there. I heard Jack Leggett's name a lot.
That's one of those traditional rivalries that makes sense. And kudos to Western Carolina and Bobby Moe, longtime friend of the program, Bob Miranda, getting the Catamounts in there. Mike, which ones stand out to you? Which ones are you looking to? Which ones are you going to definitely watch? And which ones might you? Maybe I'll catch a stream here or there.
Yeah, well, the ones that we've talked about so far, obviously, those are the ones that have certainly stood out to me. You know, I'd say I'd throw another one in there that I think could be a really interesting regional is right in our backyard, the Raleigh regional with
good
NC
pitching.
State. Yeah, good pitching. You know, aces on Navy and St. Mary's. You got Corbin Burns, if I could say his name, coming into town. And
you can say it. I won't spell it right. I guarantee you I'll spell it wrong.
And Gillingham with Navy, and you know, Coastal Carolina is a team that could argue, you know, could have hosted, you know, given their RPI and their resume. Obviously they're not, but it's a strong number 2 seeded team that can hit really well. And you know, NC State, you know, you could argue that maybe they didn't deserve to host in some ways with how things kind of played out at the end of the season for them. And they're a little banged up right now too. You know, it's going to be interesting to see pitching wise, you know, how they're going to line up with, you know, Ryan Williamson dealing with the triceps issues. They haven't had O'Donnell all year. It doesn't sound like they're going to get him back, but we'll see what happens with that. But I think that's going to be a very interesting regional, and I'm also kind of interested to see the Tallahassee regional. I feel like, I mean, Florida State historically strong at home. I feel like they'll come through that okay, but Southern Miss is a tough number 2 seed, and I think South Alabama is a tough number 3 as well, so we'll see how that goes.
Teddy, I'm going to wrap with you. You don't have to stick to that subject. We've picked over the strong regionals, but what did you think overall? If you wanted to touch on, I tweeted about this, I do think it's an issue that bothers me that there's so many very predictable super regional matchups, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina. That bothered me, but just in general, your final take before we get out of here.
Well, I did want to highlight one regional that I think is weak, and that is Nashville. I think Vanderbilt got a great draw. Xavier wins the Big East, but you know they're not. That's not a four that's going to scare. That's not one of the scarier fours. UCSB has been struggling all year, and they're two, like I mentioned. And then Washington has been. I don't know what to make of Washington. It's a good team, but it's not a great team. And so I think Vanderbilt did well. And that's another team that people were wondering whether they would host or not, if they would give the SEC seven hosts. If they wouldn't, Vanderbilt was probably the seventh SEC host. And here they are with a pretty good-looking regional.
Very winnable regional,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. And you know, so overall, I think the committee did a really good job here, for the most part. You know, it's a job that nobody wants.
It's a thankless job. You're always going to get criticized.
Yeah, and I mean, you just talk all these coaches, and you know, listen to their, you know, them campaigning for different teams, and ultimately though, they're all pretty happy that they aren't the ones that have to make the decision, and I will join them in that. So it was an interesting selection. We'll see how the tournament plays out. Hopefully it is an exciting tournament, and I think there are going to be some good regionals this weekend. I mean, you guys mentioned some good ones, and you know, I'm sure there will be one or two surprises out there too.
All right, we're going to come back later in the afternoon, but it's time to go do the conference call. It's time to, and hopefully we'll be back later with some Facebook Live as well, because I'm obsessed with it, and I like it. I like staring into the phone and talking, as Mike knows. So much more analysis to come at BaseballAmerica.com. Thanks, everybody.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.